Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Good Friday, everybody. Welcome in. We're live at Centennial Sportsplex today for Predators training camp. Obviously going to get ready for the Titans and the Raiders as well. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. It is good to be back. There's Ellie Tolvanen walking by. Good to see all the players here. And Coach Pex is on the ice right now. So, you know, I'm getting used to that, seeing Pekka out there and with the coaches and
have
talking about
Coach. Have you called him Coach Pex yet? Have you seen him?
I haven't gotten to talk to him.
Okay.
When he walks by, I'm going to say, Coach Pex, what's up?
Coach Pex.
I feel like I can do that.
Coach Pex.
I feel like I can do that. But anyway, how we doing, boys?
Hey, we're doing good, man. We're doing wonderful. I got
look, he's prepared.
I got my hat.
You got your hat.
I was looking for my heating pack, but I'm like, nah, I'm not going to be that soft today.
There you
I
go.
Didn't bring the heat pack.
Yeah, I'm going to check back if he's about 1 o'clock.
I know.
We're okay now. At 1 o'clock is going to be – that's where you're going to be. I know this. I'm going to be heading out that door for a little warmth.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Oh, absolutely.
During breaks.
I haven't – you know, I've had to bust out the jacket.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure where it was because I'm not one of those people that, you know, I pack everything up for the summer and it's all organized. Like, we all know that that is not the case. So I'm like, where did I put my jacket? So it was in a closet. But I found it.
But you got it.
You pack away stuff during the summertime.
I did. There's Matt Duchesne walking by after practice, Roman Josi, captain. So it's good to see everybody again. All right, let's just get right to this because I'm going to be on. I did hear the start of Jared's show yesterday of Stillman and Caroline. Stillman and Company.
Caroline, part of the company.
You know, whatever.
And the company.
And so I think I know where you're going with this, but we get a text from Derek last night. I need to address Jared at the start of the show. Let's have the audio ready. And so I think it's about the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And we'll play a little bit of it. You tell me when we need to stop. But
Okay. Here
was the first 5 minutes of Stillman and Company yesterday.
And we broke down all these clips and had all this stuff and one segment from the Midday Show, which I've now heard about 15 times from different people across the city, and I've seen it on Twitter, and I've seen it on my own Twitter, and I've seen it on the shows and everything else.
I've seen it in the text line.
It's just driving me insane. And we're starting on this. Titans fans, and I normally don't do this for two reasons. One, I don't really see myself as anything like more knowledgeable than an average fan. Like I didn't play football. I didn't coach football. I didn't, other than the fact that I can spend all morning watching game tape when you have to do an actual job. There's really no difference. So I try not to like talk down to the fans. Number two, I realize the role of radio. You know, 95% of Americans listen to radio in their cars on a weekly basis, AM, FM, terrestrial radio. And what people have a hard time understanding is that it's not Rush Limbaugh from the mountaintop talking to every conservative. It's Rush Limbaugh in the car with the one guy on the way home. And that's something that I've tried to preach. I've really tried to explain to you that it's not like, you know, we're not preaching to the masses. It's just Jared and Caroline are in your car with you on your way home. So try not to talk down. Try to make it conversational, everything else.
Just a couple of pals hanging out.
I didn't have to talk down here for a second. I didn't have to preach here for a second. Titan fans need to chill out with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. This is, and I say this with complete sincerity, in the history of Nashville sports, I do not think there has been a commentator who is more consistently skeptical of the local teams than me. On a consistent basis. And I'm talking about the history of Nashville sports, because really sports talk became a thing in the late 90s, early 2000s. So that's where, you know, this all really came about. And I know what happened in sports talk in the late 90s and the early 2000s. And I know what happened in the mid 2010s. And I know what happened when I got here. And I know what happens now. And you guys have got to chill on the coach and the general manager. I get the frustrations. Like, we first guessed about 95% of the things that you all are going off about today. We criticized Isaiah Wilson. We asked John Robinson before the 2021 draft, why was it bad in the 2020 draft? We weren't happy about that. We criticized Vrabel when he didn't have a defensive coordinator in 2020 and they couldn't get off the field on third down. We criticized the Clowney signing. We criticized the Julio trade. We begged him before the start of free agency, go get a right tackle. Whatever you do, go get a right tackle. We told you, Austin Hooper, 1 year, $7 million. Like, he's not Gronk, people. The only thing, as far as first guessing is concerned, where we went along with the Titans, where I'm kind of like, I don't know about that, Bob, was the A.J. Brown trade. And we'll see how that plays out, because apparently Pro Football Focus says Treylon Burks is the best rookie and wide receiver in the NFL.
Thank you, Pro Football Focus.
We'll take that with a truckload of salt. But again, guys, it's two games. It's two games. John Robinson has been the general manager here for 7 seasons. And in the 6 seasons that are completed, the Titans have made the playoffs 4 times. They have had a winning season every year. They have had 6 winning seasons. This is an organization that did not make the playoffs from 2004 until 2017. No, excuse me, they made it in 2008 and 7. But they did not win a playoff game between 2004 and 2017. And then he fired the coach, Robinson did, which I wasn't on board with because I was so tired of the losing and Mularkey had done some winning. And then they went out and hired a guy that was just the coach of the year. They hired a guy that got them to the AFC Championship game when they started 2-4. Do you know how hard it is to get to a conference championship game with Ryan Tannehill as your starting quarterback? I mean, guys, not every move they're going to make is perfect. Not every move that any general manager is going to make is perfect. Floyd drafted Henry Ford in the first round. Henry Ford was a defensive end from Arkansas who ate too much food that they had to move him to defensive tackle. Don't let him draft again. Next year he drafted Steve McNair. The next year he drafted Eddie George. Floyd made a trade in the 96 draft to move down in the first round. And he got Eddie George and John Runyon, an all-pro right tackle, out of it. And then in 97, he drafted Kenny Holmes. Kenny Holmes was okay. That's how it works. The same guy who 1 year drafts Albert Haynesworth, maybe the best defensive player for a 3-year period in the NFL, Andre Wolfolk the next year, a corner who could never play. It happens.
There you go. Stillman and Company, the start of their show yesterday that has gotten Derek fired up. Terry Crisp is here, so he can witness this. I think this should be pretty good. Before I let you go on this, yeah. I will say that I heard this, and it was kind of the theme of their show yesterday, and I get that, you know, you're going to miss on things. I mean, uh-huh. That's a part of it. That's a part of the job. You're not going to hit on everything. But we've made it pretty clear and gone through and have the documentation that the drafting and some of the personnel moves are coming back to bite them right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, with that said, the floor is yours, Derek.
So everyone, now that Jared is done with talking about the GM, we can all just stop, okay? Because Jared stopped. And Jared and company, they stopped talking about the GM. So, you know what? We should stop talking about it. So, Jared is pushing his train, and when the train stops, everybody else needs to stop, okay? Jared is the messiah of sports radio talk, okay? Never mind John Dwyer, Pete Weber, Hope Hines, Rudy Kalish. Jared is the messiah.
So when John Dwyer, wow.
So when the messiah says, it's time to stop talking and move on. You idiots need to stop talking and move on, okay? Because that's basically what he called you. He said, I normally don't talk down to the listeners or to other sports writers, but I'm going to talk down.
Something tells me I'm going to end up having to have a meeting later because
okay,
of this.
Okay, listen, I love Jared. I really do. He's great at his job. I would never take that away from him. The kid studies. He does everything. And he's wonderful at what he does. But, Jared, just because you feel like it's a done deal doesn't mean it's a done deal, okay? Just because you feel like we should stop talking about things, then we should stop, okay? Again, Jared the Messiah. We should stop with everything. Once the Messiah says stop, we need to stop. Here's the deal, Jared. These fans are loyal fans. These fans have stuck with the Tennessee Titans through thick and thin, majority of them. Now, you're going to have some that kind of leave and come and whatnot. The city has grown, so you're going to have different fans that come in and pick up on the Titans and love them and whatnot. But for the most part, this fan base has stuck with this team. When this team was really, really good and this team was really, really bad, when this team thought about selling to somebody else until Amy Adams said, you know what, I'm taking control of this team and I'm going to get it back to where it needs to be, where it was in 1999, 2000. And she did exactly that. But here's the deal, Jared. Just like my son, I tell him, I love you, but I got to call a spade a spade. And it's not, and when I do it, it doesn't mean I'm not going to love you afterwards. I am. But I think I need to address it because you inserted my name into the conversation. Now, if you hadn't inserted my name into the conversation, then I wouldn't have known who you were talking about. But since you inserted my name into the conversation, Messiah, then I have to come back and I have to give a rebuttal, okay? This is not a debate. I don't want to debate you. This is not what it's for. This is to tell you that, listen, these fans are upset, okay, at a GM and a coach. They don't want to fire the guys. I don't want to fire the guys. But, again, you call a spade, and you still love them and you move on. I am exactly right about what I said. Those draft picks that he had that he missed out on has come to bite him now, this organization. And he knows that. And he wants to do better, meaning the GM and the head coach. They don't want to go through this, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line. Nobody wants to go through this. But you point out the wrongs and you point out the rights. Yes, he had Jeffrey Simmons, all pro. Yes, he had Kevin Byard, all pro. Yes, he drafted Jack Conklin, all pro. But where's Jack Conklin, okay? He missed on Isaiah Wilson. He's missed on other guys. And the fans have still given him grace. And he deserves the grace. Why? Because the team is winning, okay? But the team, after two games, they're looking bad, Jared. So since you decide we don't want to talk about that no more, well, whether your show doesn't want to talk about it no more, then everybody else should just leave it alone and say, you know what, Messiah Jared said don't talk about it anymore, so everybody let's move on. Jared, they're going to talk about it, okay? And they have a right to talk about it. You may not like it. I may not like it. Willie, Chase may not like it. But the fans, this is their team, okay? It's not your team, it's not Willie's team, it's not Chase's team, it's not my team, even though I played there. Those loyal fans each and every week support that Tennessee Titan team, okay? And in that, they have a right to be upset with the GM and the head coach. Again, they're not asking for those guys to be fired, but they are calling them to the mat. Listen, because of these things that has transpired, yes, you have had some hits, just like any other GM. But if this was another team and you were saying, look, you're railing on the Indianapolis coach. You killed them each and every week you can. You talk about how trash and how horrible that team is and how that ownership is. But that owner has won a Super Bowl, okay? He's won a Super Bowl. He's been in the AFC Championship game, okay? So if you're going to talk about that owner, that GM, that head coach, why can't we talk about our own GM and our own head coach, not in a way that we want to fire them, but in a way that we want to make sure they're doing better. We want to make sure that, or the fans want to make sure, hey, listen, we want them to hear us loud and clear, okay? That, yes, we love John Robinson. Yes, we love Mike Vrabel. I said this yesterday and I won't even call it a rant yesterday, in what I was saying. I said, listen, Robinson and Vrabel was the best thing that has happened to this organization since Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher. I explicitly said that.
Yep.
I said that.
You did.
Okay? She made the right. She saved this franchise by hiring those two guys. This franchise was saved because she took hold of it. But that doesn't mean we can't criticize and wonder why the GM and the head coach continues to make some of these moves. If we didn't, that means we don't care about the team. Okay? So, Messiah Jarrett, just because you and your crew don't feel like talking about it anymore doesn't mean the fans should just stop and go about their business. They pay the money to go to that stadium. They pay the cable bill to watch this team play. They support this team with every little cent that they have. Not to mention inflation is high as hell. And they still out there supporting this team. Okay? So if they want to say something about the GM and the head coach, they can. But that doesn't mean they don't love them. Okay? Yeah. Jared, I love you, but I had to get that out. Okay?
Okay.
There we go.
I have a feeling we might hear from
now. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I got it off my chest.
See,
but he asserted my name, so no. I had to address it.
He's basically, I'm here. Keep my name out your mouth.
Yeah, like Will Smith said, keep my name out your mouth.
If you slap Jared,
I would never slap Jared. I would never.
We got to draw the line.
I may put him in a headlock, but I'd never slap him. No. Again,
the show host in me would say I would love that. The boss in me would say, Derek, exactly. I need to see you in my office.
Give him a nuggie. Give him a nuggie.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
I love Jared. Jared does a wonderful job. And I mean, he does a wonderful job at talking sports. He does. I told you before, the kid studies. He's on point. But I just had to address that one situation because he inserted my name into the conversation.
615-737-1025. You've heard the passion that Derek has brought today. Jared is basically saying to lay off the GM and the head coach. What do you all think? 615-737-1025. We will go to the phones. We're live at Smashville. We're live at Smashville. We're live at Centennial Sportsplex today for Preds training camp. It's all next on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Here's the deal, Jared. These fans are loyal fans.
Derek.
These fans have stuck with the Tennessee Titans through thick and thin, majority of them. Now, you're going to have some that kind of leave and come and whatnot. The city has grown, so you're going to have different fans that come in and pick up on the Titans and love them and whatnot. But for the most part, this fan base has stuck with this team. When this team was really, really good and this team was really, really bad, when this team thought about selling to somebody else until Amy Adams said, you know what, I'm taking control of this team and I'm going to get it back to where it needs to be, where it was in 1999, 2000. And she did exactly that.
Oh, Derek Mason, a passionate Derek Mason to start our show. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We just got to talk to Coach Pex for a second. It was good to see him as he walked by. He knows that is now his name, Coach Pex.
Oh, yeah, Coach Pex, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what he will henceforth be known as. It's no longer Pekka, it's Coach Pex, so. He could be a get-back coach. That's a good get-back coach name.
No, Pex. He's too tall to be a good. He's too tall to be a get-back coach. He's too tall to be a get-back coach.
All right, to the phone lines, the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I do have one on my personal text line from Jared Stillman, who says.
Oh, really?
Jared loves Derek and his passion and his new pregame host, Crazy Uncle Chris Sanders and Derek A. Smith. There was a little Stephen A there.
It was Derek. It's Derek J. My middle name.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Derek J. Smith.
Others on our text line. Alex from Montreal. I completely agree with Derek. As fans, we can be emotional and critical through thick and thin. Jared forgot he was a fan before he became the Messiah. John says, I'll say what I said in the morning show. Firing people because you're upset or had a few bad games doesn't help. I've watched the Browns do it for decades, and only now with consistency have they had some success. I think that's a fantastic point.
Uh-huh.
Because, look, I can get mad at John Robinson or Mike Vrabel or John Hines or David Poyle or whatever because of the performance at that moment of the team. And you can give a passionate opinion on it. Mm-hmm. But you know, you got to know when the time is. Now, we've all been in this long enough to know that there comes a time where it's time to make a change.
Uh-huh.
And you do have to move on. Ken Wisenhunt, it was time to fire him.
Absolutely.
Right? And I would even, in a different way, say when they made the change at Peter Laviolette, it wasn't that he was a bad coach and had forgotten how to coach.
They needed a new voice.
It was time for a new voice. It was when Jeff Fisher left the Titans. Mm-hmm. It was time. So you have to kind of know the difference there of when the time is right to make the move and why you're making the move and just being pissed off that you lost the game and fire everybody. And, yes, Jared can be that guy at times. And I think he will admit that he can be that guy at times.
Well, this is where I want to step in, because I do think it's important for – and this is just my philosophy. Everybody's allowed to have their own philosophies. There's plenty of sports talk hosts that call for the heads of executives, right? Uh-huh. Coaches, GMs, whatever. There's people that do that. It's their right to do that.
Sure.
But I can honestly say I've never, ever done that. I've never said in all the – I've been doing this since 1993.
It's not your style.
It's not my style.
Okay.
I've never called for a guy to get fired. Right? Now, I'll point out where guys aren't doing the job. I think that's the important thing, Derek. I think you should be allowed to be as critical as you want to be if you back it up. And I just find it ironic that Jared, who is the guy that absolutely will – say somebody should be fired or say somebody is not being straight with you, you know, do any number of things, which is fine. That's what makes him what he is, right? He's effective as a host in his way, right? His style is not my style.
Sure.
But I just find it ironic that he was the guy saying, don't, you know, back off the GM and the...
Yeah, and look.
He was all over that same GM and coach the day after. We can pull back the tapes about the week after the Bengals game.
I think you'll hear some.
And in the weeks that followed, some of the things that he was saying there to be critical. But I think, just for me, I think it's critical. But I think you got to be really careful of when you're calling for somebody to be fired. And I see his point. Like, it is only two games.
Yeah.
So, right? I don't know that – is there a rash of people? I haven't heard anybody call our show and say it's time to fire Mike Vrabel or John Robinson.
No,
now, there's people
that
are very critical of Todd Downing, and there's this whole thing about him. But that's –
well, because you
and
start
to me,
and work
I don't,
your way up.
I don't. I'm not comfortable with that either, but I get it. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, I'm in your corner, Derek, on this, because I think you should have every right to be critical. I think you have to be careful on how you do it.
Yeah, and okay. So there's something. We have a texter that has said, and I get this every day that I should fire Jared. Okay,
no.
I get this every day. I want to address
that. Is there a website or a hashtag on that?
Fire Jared Stillman.
I know we have the bell, but he was getting on the list all the time.
What's funny is it's the same thing that we're talking about.
Exactly.
But we'll talk about that. Continue to take your texts, your call, 615-737-1025. Chase William D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Getting rickrolled. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We're live at Centennial Sportsplex. Predators training camp is underway. The Big Cheese, Sean Henry, is standing right next to us, making sure we're behaving, which is good. Coach Pex has walked by.
There was a rickroll during a game last year, and I checked in on Chris Mason because I was really proud that I knew about the rickroll.
Yeah.
And C. Mace, who's usually way more hip than I am, he didn't know about the rickroll. I was like, you don't know about the rickroll?
The Rick Rule?
The Rick Roll.
Rick Roll.
I don't know what
you got
is.
Rickrolled. When you play Rick Astley, he's never going to give you up. You got rickrolled.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't know any.
Yeah.
Like, people.
Well, there's like a spontaneous performance
Is that what it is, like on YouTube, somebody will post a video that it says it's something else, and then you click on it, and it's
it says
you got Rickrolled. So that's
surprise
that's
attack.
It
it's a Rick Astley surprise attack.
615-737-1025 We are saying we're setting up a match at WrestleMania: Derek Mason versus Jared Stillman, steel cage match, no interference. But basically, is it warranted to give criticism to Mike Vrabel and John Robinson with the fact that they're in an 0-2 hole, and really specifically John Robinson because of the personnel decisions that have been made, especially this offseason? Now, this is what is kind of funny, because I get this every day of Stillman sucks, get rid of Stillman, why is he still there, yada, 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 yada. That's the same thing in basically saying, hey, go fire John Robinson because the team's 0-2.
Yeah.
When I can sit here and I can say, well, you know, he does his work. He does a very good job. He's a very talented host. The show is successful. Why would we make that change?
Yeah.
You know, like that's kind of the same thing that Amy Adams Strunk is saying right now. That, okay, well, we've made the playoffs pretty much every year. We've had a winning record every year with John Robinson, Mike Vrabel as well. Why would I make that change? Have you won a championship? No. Are things great at this moment? No. But it's two games, and things can certainly get turned around. So I just that's kind of how I look at things. And you know, you're entitled to your opinion, and I know that there are times where, you know, I even go, Jared, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, that's why this was so out of left field for him to say, you know, back off with the GM he's the last guy that's going to back off about anything. That's why he's good at what he does. So that's what I didn't get about the whole.
I sort of equate it to.
I got to read this text.
You're in a relationship, and whether it be the man or the woman, it doesn't matter. And you may be that individual may do things that you don't like, you know, here and there. And you come to that person and you say, well, babe, these are the things that I don't like. Man or girl, it doesn't matter. And that person says, what do you mean you don't like that? You know, remember when we, you know, 5 years ago, when we didn't have anything? When we were just scraping for food, now we got everything. Oh, now you want to complain about just the little things? Just remember where we were. Okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean you're above reproach.
Right.
I still should be able to say, hey, listen, these are the things that I don't like. I understand where we were before, and I understand where we are now, but that doesn't give you the right to do some of the things that you're doing now just because we're not in that situation no more. Mm-hmm. Same thing with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Yes, we understand where this organization was before Amy made the decision to take hold of it and hire those two. But it still doesn't mean we can't point out the things that they have done wrong.
Sure.
And we're not asking that they be fired. We're not asking, Amy, you need to fire John and you need to fire Vrabel if they don't make the playoffs. That would be idiotic. Seriously, that would be dumb to do.
It would be the wrong move.
Exactly. They're not saying that.
And you just signed them to contract extensions because of the job that they've been doing.
Absolutely. Neither am I saying that. But I should be able to, someone that, you know, that put, for 8 years, put all that I had into trying to make this organization a winning organization along with the other 51 guys in that locker room. So I should be able to come out and say, listen, because of these moves that John made and Mike made, I like them both. I don't think they should be getting fired. No, they're far from that. But these are the moves now that are catching up with them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will sit back and like, man, if we only hit on that guy, we hit on that guy, you know, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. We're in it. We got to make the best out of it. But had we not did those things, maybe we would be in a better situation. So – we can still criticize them and not want them fired. Because we want them to get better. We want this team to get better. I don't care if it's after one game, two games, 12 games, 13 games. If you want to criticize this team because they're not playing the way you feel they need to be played because of some of the moves they made, then you can criticize them. You're not asking that they be fired.
The other thing that I'm seeing with where the Titans are right now, there's always the oddball that's going to throw a text at us or put a tweet on our thing that says fire. I mean, something just completely outlandish. But if you just get one here or there, I do see a lot of hosts that will gravitate towards the one or two yo-yos that are way, way off in the fringes, right? They do not represent
the whole.
And not I'm not even talking about like 30%. I'm talking about like 0.1%. You see the one odd tweet that says fire the coach. And that does not mean that – I mean, he might be the only guy that's doing that. But then you have a host that says, hey, people are saying fire the coach. That's not what they're saying. It's just one yo-yo that has one follower. That doesn't mean that most of the fans aren't rational and they're 0-2. Mm-hmm. Okay? And maybe that's the point that Jared's making. But, look, you're going to get some crazy wackos that tweet. You got to be able to discern those as hosts and people covering it. When you're trying to, quote, get the pulse of the fans.
Sure.
A couple of yo-yos tweeting that the coach should be fired do not indicate that means anything. You know what I mean? There's a difference between one or two or a consensus or a wave of a lot of people every day, a recurring theme. That's where Downing is right now, quite honestly. Fair or unfair, he is the guy that is getting the gravity. So that's important to, I think, differentiate, right? Where Downing is, and I'm not saying that's fair, right? He's had a lot of tough things thrown at him that have made his job very, very tough. I heard Robbie and Joe talking about it. They talk about it a lot. That's different than one yo-yo saying Vrabel and Robinson should be fired.
Yeah.
Completely different levels of criticism. That's why I think it's important for hosts and media to understand.
Sure. 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to weigh in on things with us, believe we have – who do we have on here? Rob and Franklin. Rob, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me. Nothing makes me happier than the sound of that hockey in the background. So, So I just wanted to just have a quick plug out there. We're having our 40th anniversary for CB Hockey tonight. Big party. We've been playing hockey for the last 40 years, exactly where you guys are standing. So big party tonight at a little pizza joint in East Nashville. So. I did want to weigh in. I think that what's bugging people more than anything is the fact that I might get my years wrong, but in 2020 you had Isaiah Wilson, and then you had in 2021 you had Dylan Raven, right? And both have been panned out. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I think there was a little thing in 2020 called COVID. And you couldn't actually get to see the player. You couldn't get them to interview as well as you could. And there was, you know, there was a lot of interference, a lot of, we'll call it upper level bunk that you couldn't get around. And so to say, you know, they didn't do due diligence. They did as probably as much due diligence as they could have in the COVID era. What probably is piling on that is Dylan Ravens hasn't panned out and was kind of undersized right from the get go. So. Interesting to note those two things, and I, you know, people that are calling for people to be fired is just, I think, plain old rude. And the fact that you've made it to the pinnacle of your division 2 years in a row, kind of ridiculous. Thoughts?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Rob. Good stuff there. I mean, look, I hear what he's saying. I you know, that's what we've kind of been trying to say is they've had success. Now they haven't won the championship. Uh-huh. And there are a lot of people, myself included, that your goal is to win the championship.
The George Steinbrenner-esque, right? Either you win the whole thing or you have not succeeded.
But I don't think that should get somebody fired different, if you're not doing that. You have to build to that point.
That's where. How similar is that to the Predators discussion that we had at the end of their season, these last few years, too? It's totally.
And to that point, they addressed a lot of things, the Predators did, in the offseason that – needed to be addressed.
Uh-huh. Sure.
They've you know, upgraded on defense. They've upgraded at forward. They've brought in, you know, Pekka's back in the fold in a capacity to help with stuff.
They got a suitable backup goalie.
They got that in Lincoln. Yep. And so, I mean, there are things.
And we don't know if it'll work, but they did address it.
But they did.
That's the thing about the draft, too, is you can try to do everything you can in the draft. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and we know how important it is in all sports to sustain success. You've got to draft well over the long haul. You're going to miss some, but your batting average has to be pretty good to sustain success. And that's where right now you're a little worried because they are relying on a lot of young players, and the high picks that you have are precious picks. You're going to miss on some. And COVID is a really good thing. Everybody was dealing with COVID, mm-hmm. right? So maybe there was a little more luck or randomness involved because you couldn't research the way you wanted to. But it was the same for the Falcons and the Saints and the Cowboys
exactly.
and the that it was for the Titans. So it's just something that everybody had to deal with.
No, you're right. So
I don't know if there are more misses. I don't know. Have we gone back and look at the 2020 draft or even 2021 and say, are there more misses
for everybody?
For everybody. Yeah. Not just for the Titans.
I would say probably. I mean,
we don't know.
Look, John did address that he, you know, he said that it was definitely tough, you know, to do the evaluation.
Sure. But I'll bet you, like, and this is when people call in and criticize the Titans, they're only looking at the Titans.
Yeah.
They're not comparing it to all of the other teams. And that's hard to do. Nobody's going to do that. They don't have enough time. It's not their job, right? They're calling from their job. They're a Titans fan. They're only watching the Titans. But I do think it's important to balance the conversation by saying, well, how are they doing relative to everybody else?
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your calls and texts on this, on the Titans taking on the Raiders this week. Both teams at 0-2. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Louisville Bats, AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plan. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. We're at Centennial Sportsplex today for Predators training camp as new Predators goaltender Kevin Lankinen walks by us wearing the number 32. He's getting ready for practice. I think the story is Coach Pex, and that name is going to take off. Mm-hmm. So,
by the way, we're getting good vibes from our interview yesterday with the big man,
yep.
Michael McCarron, who just scored a goal in the scrimmage,
nice.
By the way. He got he was fouled by Nino Niederreiter, got tripped. And the way they're doing it, they're not doing power plays, so you get a semi-penalty shot. Everybody's in pursuit, so
that's
if you miss it,
fella,
you
man.
Play it live. But he made
that's
a nice
a big
move.
Fella,
he's a Big Mac is a big dude. He's a big dude. But they liked his line.
6'7"?
I don't think he's quite skillsy size. Like, uh-huh. Hal Gill is legit 6'7". I think McCarron's probably 6'5 or 6'6".
But even at that height, they can move like that.
Yes.
Good.
Well, I thought another good part of his interview was in the older days, in a past era, and it's a little bit like football, right? Mm-hmm. They've cracked down on concussions and hits and things like that. They also want to keep the players free. And so you can't grab them. You can't do the tactics. Mm-hmm. Hand-checking would be the same thing in basketball. Or if, you know, if I'm the defensive back, if they let me hold you a little bit more, grab your jersey a little
bit.
Remember old Lester Hayes had to stick him, you know,
you
just try to get in. They try not to let that happen as much. So it's harder for a big guy, right? The big guy's there. He wants to be physical. He wants to use his size. But he's got to be quick enough to get there or else he's ineffective. So that was a good talk by him. Like, I got to be explosive. I got to work. I got to be as quick as I possibly can so I can be the guy that hits somebody.
Uh-huh.
You can be big and be able to hit somebody, but if you can't get to him.
You can't catch him.
You can't catch him. You can't hit him.
615-737-1025. Michael in Clarksville says, fans will turn on a coach faster than most in my Kurt, and he's talking about Vrabel, turn on coach faster than most, in my opinion, because of his attitude or tendency to be a Richard.
Okay.
So, look.
King Richard?
Yes. Richard Deitch. But
Richard Pryor.
Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons. Richard Nixon.
He did not just say Richard Simmons.
But listen, Vrabel is what Vrabel is. Uh-huh. And I don't have an issue with it. There's times where I'm like, dude, just answer the question. You know, just stop sidestepping it or getting an attitude. And I feel like overall this year he's been better. Like I think the last couple of weeks he's been humbled in some ways. So, you know, he's given more answers than I really expected out of him. But I'm not going to say go fire a guy because he's a jerk or acts like one.
No.
You know, I mean, I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. So, but he's intense. That's just what he is. Peter Laviolette was intense.
Yes.
Well, you gotta have a certain demeanor,
sure,
or a personality to, you know, be at that position. You can't be, as much as you probably want to, you can't be, you know, happy and laughing and jovial all the time. Some moments just don't call for that. As much as you want to be upbeat, some moments calls for you to be a little bit more stern.
Yep.
And it comes off. And when you're doing, you know, pressers after a game, be it win or lose, that's the thing about Mike that I like.
Yeah.
Be it win or lose, his demeanor's sort of the same.
Right.
You know, it's not like they win. He's like, yeah, you know, hey, Teresa, ask your question. Let's go. Let's do it. Paul, let's go. Yes.
Right.
Jared. Or when he loses, he's like, yeah, whatever. Just ask him. No, he's one way all the time.
Right.
And that's what you appreciate about him.
I think this is another important point. He might come across crusty in a lot of these press conferences. And that annoys the media. You know, we get on him. He's not answering the question. You just learn how a coach handles himself in those.
Yeah.
But his players, I think, don't think he's a
no.
Richard.
No.
Right? I think his players love playing for him. That's much more important. Mm-hmm. Right? I think if you're a combination, if you're a coach that is crusty with the media and not really good to people uh-huh. who cover you, not connecting with the fans, and your players don't connect with you either,
yeah,
then you better win. And if you don't, you're not going to get...
Here's Pete, my question, so Pete Weber just walked up. Have you ever dealt with a coach that was a Richard? Have you ever dealt with a coach that was a Richard?
No, I have not.
Some other body parts, okay.
Yeah. 615.
Upper body.
Upper body, lower body, middle body. Let's go to Adam in Portland.
Center mid.
Who's on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Oh, my goodness.
Adam, what's up?
Hey, man. The day I started to like Vrabel was the day that he Belichicked Belichick in that playoff game where he's having the punter take delay a game. That was the moment I started to like him. So, and I haven't looked back since then. But no, man. As far as what we're doing right here, I think the season starts this weekend. Honestly, you're delusional if you think we probably should have won that game last year against Buffalo. I think we got pretty lucky. And once Bullock missed that kick against the Giants, I'm like, all right, we're 0-2. They're too good. You can't go to Buffalo and win that game. So I think the season starts today. The Raiders fans are doing the same thing to them. They're equally as desperate, but I think we'll end up pulling it out this weekend, man.
All right, thanks, Adam. Appreciate the call. Yeah, here's the difference in the Buffalo game this past Monday and last year.
Uh-huh.
Last year you actually had playmakers.
Yes.
And you were able to get big plays out of your playmakers, and you won the game. As you've pointed out all week, you don't have a true go-to playmaker outside of Derrick Henry, who was not effective because of the exactly. offensive line.
That's an interesting question. When we say they had playmakers last year,
yeah,
are we really only talking about one guy?
Well, we're talking about two.
AJ Brown
and Derrick Henry.
AJ Brown had a big game. Julio had a good first half, and then he got hurt.
Oh, you're talking about a particular game.
I'm talking about
Buffalo last year. The Monday night game
in Nashville.
They had Derrick Henry then, didn't they?
They had Derrick Henry then.
So that's what we're getting at is Derrick Henry. They still have Derrick Henry. So to me, they only have one
and the
less
offensive
playmaker.
Line. The offensive line was better.
Well, but we use the word playmaker, right? That's not the offensive line. I'm talking about to me, it just comes back to A.J. Brown.
Uh-huh.
It's they have not replaced A.J. Brown. The rest of the guys are pretty similar.
Nah.
In terms of skill players. They're different.
Oh, the skill players?
I'm talking about in terms of playmakers. Playmakers. Uh-huh. They're only missing the one guy that changes the game.
Tannehill, 18 of 29, 216 with a pick.
That was Henry,
20 carries, 143 yards, three touchdowns.
Yeah, he had a 75-yard touchdown run.
76.
Yeah, so that's a playmaker.
A.J. Brown.
That we are asking if Derrick Henry is – that's what we're trying to
– A.J. Brown, 7 catches, 91 yards. Julio Jones, 3 catches, 59 yards.
Yeah, well, he had one long catch. But it was a weird play.
But my point, that's a play. You're making
but he
a play.
He was not a playmaker last year, Julio Jones.
No, but he made a big play in that game.
And the offensive line, I know in the term of the traditional term of playmakers, we don't think of offensive linemen as playmakers. But they are, because they allow the quarterback to – they give him enough time to make plays downfield. They give the running back enough room, that crease in that offensive line to make big plays down the field. So the offensive line – can be playmakers because they are byproduct. I mean, the Derrick Henry run is a byproduct of what the offensive line is doing. A.J. Brown's big catch is a byproduct of what the offensive line is doing because they're giving Ryan Tannehill enough time to throw the football. So in a traditional sense, Willie, you're right. They're not playmakers, but they do affect what those playmakers are able to do.
Yes. My two theories, and this is going to be an oversimplification, but I could argue they had just as many offensive line issues last year, at the beginning of the year for sure, and throughout the season, on and off. They dealt with a lot of offensive line issues. They had playmaker issues last year, with the exception of that they had A.J. Brown. The other receivers, to me, are about the same level. It's just they don't have A.J. Brown. And then the other big question is Derrick Henry still a playmaker? So they've lost a playmaker in A.J. Brown that they have not replaced to this point. And we also don't know if Derrick Henry can overcome some of the other shortcomings and just carry the team. He doesn't look like yet that he can do that this year. That's what they're doing. If those two things get figured out, if Treylon Burks comes on and they start getting some more, and Derrick Henry is still Derrick Henry, then things should start falling into line a little bit. They'll start winning some games.
615-737-1025. We're live at Predators training camp today at Centennial Sportsplex. We'll catch up with some players, maybe some coaches, as we go along today here on Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.